Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. We were actually ending the show yesterday on the Seattle is dying, and unfortunately, that headline isn't "the secular progressives controlling Seattle are dying," because that ideology has to die off if we are going to really turn this around. And there's only one way to address that, but we'll get into that down the road here. Let me give you the obligatories. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And as you know, this is the show that is going to give you tangible solutions in getting this constitutional, or what I like to call hybrid constitutional republic, back on track. Let's move into some more marketing, and hopefully we can get into the Kentucky resolutions. Didn't get a chance, like I said, to finish my dialogue regarding the Seattle is Dying special documentary out of Como TV from a Seattle broadcasting station. But I do want to get into and we will be getting into the VA resolutions, but this is only an hour show, and there's sometimes a lot of things that just need to be discussed so that we can, give you a good friendly ribbing to say, what's it going to take to get you to recognize that things are not going to get better? You're going to have to get involved. So, as you know, we do this obligatory, groveling, or I like to ask, because I think humility is important. And I believe that you need to understand that we can't turn this nation around just because we got Trump elected. One man cannot do this, not even a man's policies, because those policies can be reversed by the next secular, godless progressive that takes that office. We don't have kings. We have presidents that are supposed to faithfully execute the laws. So we need help. And one of the ways that you can help, and we're going to get the information out there hopefully in the next week or so. We're working out the details, but Red State Coffee is going to be supporting us. So you can get your Joe on and download the podcast and so forth. I will I'll be moving my podcast. I'm still going to maintain the podcast on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. But if you want to get the RSS feeds to remind you, hey, my show is done and the podcast is up, we are going to be moving it over, I believe it's to SoundCloud. We've talked about this before, and we'll probably be doing that shortly. Anyway, you can also support us directly by throwing us some love in our crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe. Our campaign is called Reclaiming the Republic. And you can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and get the link to there, or you can go search for us on GoFundMe. But if you want to support, but maybe you don't have the money, if you've got the time, computer, resources, phone, what have you, and just a little bit of time, you don't have to have, nothing to do all day. But if you've got 5, 10, or 15 minutes a week, you'd be surprised how effective you can be in just setting aside that time and doing some research, garnering information, capturing information, and so forth, because that's what we need. We need to find out the details regarding our representatives so that we can reach out, get a hold of them quickly, and talk to them about, did you really mean to do this, and so forth. So send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we will, get you involved. We'll send you the information you need and so forth. There's also the Constitution Club, constitutionclub.ning.com. You hear me talk about that every day, and the same thing with the our First Right organization in trying to get the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights actually ratified. There were 12, and the First Amendment that we have in our current Bill of Rights is not the really the first one that was submitted as a part of the Bill of Rights. So let me also thank you for tuning in. This show cannot be as popular as it is without you, and you know that. We hope to be providing you the insights, and we hope to be providing you the motivation in trying to get involved, getting other people involved, and talking about the solution. Auditing the Constitution and invoking republic review so that we can get the federal government back into compliance. And as I went through the news today, they're not complying, and there's no sign that they're going to comply. It's pretty obvious that history is not filled with people humbling themselves and surrendering powers that they shouldn't have. It's the antithesis of power. Power is always consuming and always grabbing and taking more and more and more. So we're going to have to do this if we're going to do this. Before I really get into because some of these little sound bites are informational as well as important. Red Pill Expo is coming up. It'll be June 7th, 8th, and 9th in Hartford, Connecticut. You'll definitely go to Red Pill. I think it's redpill.org. Just Google or DuckDuckGo Red Pill Expo. If you're using Google, get off of it. Use DuckDuckGo. It's a bad habit of mine to say Google it. I think it's really important that we have these never-ending parasites that keep on popping up, and I'm hoping that these parasites are reminding you just how bad the Republican brand has been tarnished. The parasites of Jeb Bush and Bush and Company. We had Bush Jr. who stepped in the ring and was talking about illegal immigrants are a good thing. I was never impressed by him. But anyway, Jeb Bush is also poking his head in and saying, hey, we've got to get somebody to challenge Trump. The establishment is starting to surface, and we're going to be seeing more of this, and there's going to be more and more talk about trying to unseat Trump. And, you know, they're deliberately trying to do these types of things to cause they're helping the progressives. What they're trying to do is they would rather see a progressive or a Democrat than Trump, because Trump has undone a lot of the evil policies that Bush Sr., Bush Jr., the Clintons, and Obamas had put into effect. And so we need to reverse those things. And in doing so, the process in doing so is like what Trump is doing, is getting rid of regulations and so forth. The McCain kids and trying to defend their dad. Bottom line, there's no defending the parasite that John McCain was to the Republican Party. He should have been a socialist. He should have been another Bernie Sanders because he wasn't actually. Bernie Sanders is not as bad as McCain, because McCain was a huge supporter of using force. Remember, in the 2012 defense finance appropriations bill, that's what it was. In 2012, McCain added to the appropriations bill the ability for the military to arrest and detain permanently or indefinitely, I should say, American citizens. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. The military has no authority over U.S. citizens. And the only constitutional authority given to any organization for the federal government regarding U.S. citizens is the militia. I just want you to understand that. That's one of the reasons why we're going through the militia and, you know, its real role within our Constitution. Another thing I wanted to hit up, or at least let you know about, is the Mississippi governor has passed the heartbeat law. And so they have one of the toughest laws against abortion in the Republic. And that's good news. That's really good news. Another thing, just to poke Facebook and social media in the eye. If you didn't know, your passwords were probably in plain text out on Facebook. Or not out on Facebook, but in their records and so forth. In other words, Facebook employees had the ability to see exactly what your password is so that they could hack you. People have been talking. Have you ever had your account, receive friends that all of a sudden have accepted a friend request from you? And you go, what? Or has somebody accepted supposedly a friend request that you had sent out and you go and hold it? I don't remember sending that friend request out. This might be explaining some of those shenanigans and why you have some friends that you never asked for and who these folks are. Anyway, another thing, and the whole thing that got me on the Kentucky resolutions was the controlling of speech, thought control, all of that. And it is air apparent that we're getting way out of control. And in France, Brigitte Bardot is now facing prosecution for supposedly, allegedly inciting racial hatred after stating that the French people from Reunion Island are degenerate savages. Well, okay, so apparently France does not allow a person to say whatever they feel is appropriate in the, however they want to express their opinions. We're dangerously getting to that here as well. And as a matter of fact, I'll make one more comment on this when we come back from the break and start diving into some of this marketing. And we'll be right back after this, folks. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. It was Voltaire that said something to the effect of, if you want to know who's ruling you, just look at who you can't criticize. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting. I'm not going to look it up. But it basically was Voltaire that said that. And so if you look at today, who we can't criticize, seems like anybody Christian we can criticize, but we can't criticize anybody that's Islamic. And it seems like we can't criticize, we can't be anti-Semitic, but it's okay to be anti-Christian in America. And I'm not going to say that Islam is ruling the world because we can't criticize Islam here. Islam is being protected because they are going to be, and they are a tool for the global progressives to create the chaotic state that needs to occur so that they can take control. It's all about control. And then we will really find out who it is and why they want to control us. Because bottom line, I mean, we already know why they want to control us. They want to control us because we don't know any better for ourselves. And they, you know a bit more than we do. So they're going to make the better decisions for us. Now, before I really get started, I did get an email from an Alexandria, but no, this isn't Oso the Communist. But Alex was asking me what my opinion was regarding the Connecticut Supreme Court's Thursday ruling allowing victims of the 2012 Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre sue the manufacturer of the firearms. And so I've stated this before, and I'm not trying to be critical of Alex for asking this question, because I know we're all really busy, and a lot of people just don't have time to sit down and listen to all my podcasts. But I don't cover these things every day. So, real quick, this will have to basically go down into SCOTUS. I believe that if SCOTUS passes this, then this becomes a state issue. The states have to stand up and say, no, sorry, you cannot marginalize any of our constitutional rights. You want to marginalize it? You, just like we had to make some tweaks to our electoral college, you're going to have to amend the Constitution as we did for the 12th Amendment. It was the 12th Amendment when we made some tweaks and changes to how we vote for president. You want to change the Second Amendment, then start proposing a amendment or a change or even a repeal. That is the constitutional process. Now, I'm not supporting those things because the Second Amendment is the only thing that guarantees our protection from tyranny. It is our security of liberty. And so that's one of the reasons why, after the Civil War, when the South started passing laws that were making it impossible for the freemen to live a life of liberty, they were being oppressed. That's why the 14th Amendment was passed, so that no state could pass any law that would infringe upon the individual privileges and immunities that were guaranteed by the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution. So, anyway, I hope that makes sense. I hope that that's gives you clarity, and I hope Alexandria is listening today, because I don't want her to think that I didn't necessarily answer. But if you want to send me an email, if you got a question, you want to know my position on something, by all means, it's info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Now, let me kind of dive into what I was talking about yesterday, the Seattle TV news documentary, Seattle is Dying. I've kind of brought this up a few times. G. Edward Griffin points out how the progressive agenda is the culprit here. And there's no doubt it is the culprit here. He also points out that shoplifting is rarely prosecuted and crime has exploded in the Seattle area. G. Edward Griffin states that the real problem is not the lack of housing, but drug addiction. And you get that out of this documentary, but I don't believe that that's the real problem. I believe that both of these, homelessness, and because bottom line, when you become an addict to drugs, everything you earn will go to, you don't even buy clothes for yourselves. What you end up doing is you steal, you become a parasite on society. And so this documentary kind of also points out how Rhode Island has created a model for allegedly success in ending homelessness and drug addiction through enforcing laws, imagine that, and an alleged innovative drug intervention program. I am telling you, what they are doing is only addressing the symptom. They're only treating the symptom. They are not solving the problem. I had a a conversation just the other day. It was literally Tuesday night with a gentleman who was actually working in Seattle for Kroger's grocery store. And Seattle had just finally lifted their regulation of having to buy booze from the state used to run all of the liquor stores. So if you wanted to have, you know, buy liquor, you wanted whiskey or anything that was harder than beer or wine, you had to go to the state run stores. Well, all of a sudden, they passed a law to, you know, get rid of that administration, because that was a lot of overhead for the state and it wasn't available late at night and so forth. And people wanted to get their whiskey on at midnight or what have you. And so, and I think they, I don't know, cause I don't buy alcohol, but bottom line is that Washington changed their rules. They changed their laws to make it more accommodating for people. So Kroger's was not prepared for this new change of just all of a sudden putting whiskey on the shelf. So what ended up happening, because this drug crisis had already started, this gentleman told me that there was a liquor store, not a liquor store, but it was like a bar, a nightclub, that would give homeless people or drug addicts, heroin addicts, heroin, $10 doses of heroin for a bottle of, and, you know, top-notch, top-shelf hooch. In other words, you know, not just Jack Daniels, but Dom Perignon, or no, that's a champagne, and you can tell I don't know much about booze, but, you know, the single malt liquors and or I should say scotch and those types of things. They were actually giving these guys heroin for giving them a, you know, full, unopened bottle of these top-notch alcohol bottles. Long story short, they were making far more money off of the alcohol that they were selling and giving out these drugs. So this is just one example of how parasites come in and start using this. And they were literally selling, because that's what you call this, black market alcohol, because they weren't paying for it. They were having people steal it. So you get things like that when all of a sudden you're no longer enforcing your laws. But again, that is only treating the symptom to the problem. And as a matter of fact, if you start looking upstream, this is where you start realizing that there are multiple culprits that are responsible for this alleged crisis. This is not this is a manufactured crisis. This isn't just we just all of a sudden have a real problem here. No, we've kind of been given this problem. And so if you really want to look historically, this actually goes, because where's the drugs come from? We know where the fentanyl, we know where all of these bad drugs are coming from. They're coming from China. And as a matter of fact, what I've heard is that the stuff that is made in China is real crap. It's really dirty. It's it will kill you, even though fentanyl will kill you. But because of some of the cross-contamination and so forth, it's really bad stuff. But China's been shipping all of this stuff. And why did all of a sudden China start doing this? Well, you have to look at history. And if you go back and you look at the early 1700s, Portugal realized that they could make a lot of money selling opium to the Chinese. And so this was the beginning of the degradation of the Chinese culture. This went for well over a century until China actually, you know, stood up against it. But let's get into this a little bit more, because Portugal wasn't really the long-term culprit. If you remember, the British Empire was, you know, created after they beat the Armada. So the early 1700s, Britain was just becoming, you know, this new world empire, because the Spanish Empire was finally defeated. And so Britain hadn't really stretched out its wings completely. But in the late 1700s, mid-1700s, Britain became the pusher of the world, especially the pusher of drugs, opium, and such in Asia. And so the problem was that time continued to pass, and this old scientific factor is it takes time to measure results. And so bottom line, it wasn't until China started recognizing what a scourge these drugs were before they really started pushing back. And so it wasn't until the early 1800s where the Chinese emperor, and I forget all the names, but you can do the research. This is just fascinating stuff. But what ended up happening was, I think it was in the early 1800s, the emperor basically outlawed the narcotic heroin, or I should say opium, and sent a representative to Canton, I think it was Lin or something like that. And I'm out of time already. I'll try to wrap this up as soon as we come back from the break so we can get into the other news and hopefully get into the Kentucky resolutions and the summation on that. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so under the crown of Britain, getting back to this little narcotics pusher that Britain had become, under the crown, there was a, I think it's called the East Trading Company or East Indian Trading Company. Anyway, they were the ones that were the representatives of the crown, and they were driving this opium, continuing to drive this opium, and it's going on over a century. And again, China has recognized that this has become a real scourge. So what ended up happening was the emperor, again, like I said right before the break, he sent, I believe the guy's name was Lin, and he went down to Canton, or however you pronounce it, and they were out to end the trade altogether. What ensued after this was a war. Britain came with their naval forces and forced China into continuing to buy their, to trade their drugs for their tea so that they could continue to get the tea and or silver. And instead of actually doing trade tea, they were actually having China pay for this opium and silver, which literally drained their silver supply. So China was realizing it didn't have any precious metals, or it was losing its store of precious metals because they were transferring it over to Britain. So here's the problem. What Queen Victoria did was she sent her battleships over there. And there's actually a term that came out of this. It was something about the gunboats. But anyway, the Chinese leadership was literally forced to surrender because Britain's navy overpowered China. And so it was at this point in time. You got to remember that China had existed for millennia without ever having to go outside of their nation to trade or what have you. They are predisposed to a communistic type of culture because of the limitations of, you know, good land and so forth. They had always gravitated towards kind of communal government, communal society. And so when capitalism kind of hit them and they started trading, when Europe started going in there, Portugal, then Britain, they still didn't have any desire to do trading outside. So it was a real blow because prior to that, they really didn't feel like they needed to. The world was coming to them. And so what ended up happening, because actually, if I remember correctly, China even ordered a blockade, and then the Britain gunboats came through and just, you know, did a lot of damage, did a lot of destruction. They ended up having an inequality type of treaty with them to where Britain was still getting their way and they were still robbing them. But here's the whole point of this history. If you look at today, China has really learned their lesson from history here. That is why they are decaying us from inside by running these drugs in, and they're effectively creating this culture of addiction that can't necessarily happen on their own altogether. So this all leads us to this whole concept that China isn't the only culprit in this. And if you actually start looking historically of what happened to China after they had gone through, I think it was like two wars that they fought, and they ended up over, I don't want to say they overcame because they still have addicts and so forth after the second war, but they started moving and nationalizing, and it was the early 1900s, I believe, when the Chinese nation formed. And so today, most all the drugs that are being produced, like I said earlier, heroin, fentanyl, and many others are being made in China, and then they're being shipped to Mexico and then smuggled into America. And you see, they're just following the model that they've learned from Britain, but instead of actually openly trading, they're using Mexico as the facade to bring them in, these drug cartels and so forth. To make matters worse, as I have said many times before, the U.S. government is actually helping as well. And to top it off, the education system helps prepare the people to become dependent upon the state. How is the U.S. government helping, though? I mean, how can I make that leap for you? Well, believe it or not, the education system, along with the government types of programs, are literally just enablers, and they have changed our culture. They have moved our culture from a self-sufficient household into a broken household of dependencies. And so they began teaching these, you know, immoral concepts when they started getting Christianity, the Bible, and those types of things out of our school, started rewarding, you know, single mothers driving the husbands out of the home, and they had such an ill effect on minorities. Thomas Sowell really talks a lot about this in some of his books, as well as a lot of other authors, the damage that has happened. Even Ward Connerly talks about how the welfare state has been a huge tool in decimating the American family. So if you start looking at what we need to do if we want to change our culture to a a moral society again, we actually have to start teaching the critical moral lessons of Christianity and a programmatic view of the doctrines. In other words, I think we have empirical data today. I think we can actually start showing kids and teaching them the damages of teaching and enabling bad behavior and, you know, in using the old compare and contrast doctrines. You can easily see if you started comparing enlightenment to debasement, in other words, self-sufficiency, discipline, and those types of things that we, I'll use the term indoctrinate. We're going to teach our children to become self-sufficient, to be disciplined, to not be consumed with having a good time and not being consumed with the, you know, the quick feel-good moment. And understanding that true satisfaction takes time, just like true love takes time. You know, I'm just amazed at how little the kids today coming out of school really understand. Now, there are places, believe it or not, there are small little pockets where the education system isn't that bad, other than the fact that they've got really bad curriculum and they've got some bad policies that are being tried to ram down their throat, but it's not really that bad. But the majority of our education system, it's abysmal. It is just terrible. So as long as America continues to embrace debasement, we will continue to see this destructive growth of communism and dependency. And who cares? Well, I care, and I believe you care. The only path that will stop, arrest, and reverse our direction is demanding, first off, compliance to the constitutions, both state and federal, and enforcing compliance to our political leaders, as well as getting involved into all of the different programs. See, if we're complying to the Constitution, these welfare programs wouldn't exist. And as a matter of fact, states wouldn't be administering them. They would move it back to community services and religions. If they want to tax people, that's fine, but let it be administered. Compassionate service is best managed by churches and community services, the people that are out there that know Billy Bob over here and Mary and I'm not trying to insult anybody that's named Billy Bob, but the fact of the matter is the these way leaders, these church leaders, these community leaders, they know you, they know where you are in life, and they know what's best in helping you. The end goal of any type of assistance or welfare, whatever you want to call it, the end goal must be self-sufficiency. If that is not the end goal, then all they're doing is creating a dependency. And that's just like this corporation over in Rhode Island that is giving these, you know, poor folks that are addicts a lifetime prescription of these drugs that the corporation's making hand over fist here. And they're actually promoting this as their solution. Well, how about let's just take away their customers altogether by fixing it upstream? Now, I can't say enough that we already do have this problem of the addicts, these people that have been wired to meth, these people that have been wired to heroin and so forth. They will always have these ghosts haunting them. It's not easy getting that monkey off your back. We know this, but we have to stop inducing children to think, well, it's okay, let's just try it. No, the empirical evidence is overwhelming. If you try something like that, especially some of these drugs today, it rewires you immediately. One of the things that China also uses, they use the death penalty. If you are tried for, you know, bringing drugs into China, you will get the death penalty. And so, at least that's how it used to be. I don't know if they've softened somewhat today, but I will tell you that having very harsh punishments for these types of things, if they're intolerable, you got to remember, we used to hang people for horse thieving, right? For stealing somebody's horse. I'm at a hard break. I will try to finish this when we come back, because this is important that we understand really where this problem is coming from. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Folks, only when we begin teaching enlightenment to our children and indoctrinate them into the power of enlightenment, indoctrinate them into the productivity, all the blessings that come from living in an enlightenment society. Along with, we also have to teach them a spiritual focus on morality. If we can do this, we'll be able to change the direction of this nation as well as change our culture. Let me emphasize the spiritual focus. If we do not put back into our vernacular or in using our words that these things are sins, then we are surrendering. And we cannot surrender this type of an ideology or to this type of an ideology, because I'm telling you, that is an evil ideology when there's no such thing as sin. That is why government today is in the business of trying to marginalize or trying to remove the consequences of sin. Free abortions, you know, we'll give you all the drugs to, you know, help you. They do the needle exchanges, or they'll give you these lifetime supplies of methadone and all these. Don't worry, the state's going to take care of you. That means you can live the riotous life that you want to live. And that licentiousness and that type of living is destructive. It plagues society and it causes blight. This is why the progressives do not even want to look upstream and actually address how is this growing? Why is it that we have such a problem here in America? They only want to treat the symptoms, because the objective is to enslave society one way or another. So if we're going to move forward, again, I'll just close on this, that we actually have to start turning our focus towards enlightenment as well as a spiritual focus on morality. It's just wrong to allow people to think it's okay to do these things. So let me kind of move on. I know that if you haven't heard already,
the EU has begun fining Google again for abusing their online ads and marketing. And so when is it that America is going to go after, you know, Google as an American company and sue them for the civil rights violations of their Project Dragonfly? Remember, we've talked about that, Project Maven, and some of the other things they're doing. Or how about, have you heard... They're having a Woodstock 50. And if you look at the people that are on that, these people, they're the epitome of the establishment. They're epitome of subjugation. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I will tell you this, that when you look at the beginning of the hippie revolution, the arguments they were making, like tuning in and turning out, or turning on and tuning out, those types of things. In some ways, they kind of made sense. But anybody that looks at what they said back then and what they're saying today, it is 180 out. They are supporting communism and socialism. But before that, what were they doing? They were telling you, hey, big government, you don't need big government. And now they're all singing the big government song. Here's an interesting one. If you travel to Korea, make sure that you don't travel to the hotels that live stream their guests. just remember, you don't have the Bill of Rights to protect your rights of privacy or those types of things. Actually, the right of privacy is really not guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. However, I will say this, that if you look at the hypocrisy when we're talking about what's going on in Seattle and what's going on in San Francisco, this ought to really get you tickled up. Or I should say, this ought to just get your tickle bone going, because, you know, San Francisco is equally lenient and they're actually worse than Seattle. So San Francisco's dying too. But they, you know, because they allow you to have these drugs, needle exchange programs and so forth. But did you know that they ban e-cigarettes, or they're looking at banning e-cigarettes? That's hypocrisy, right? Well, so I want to move on, but I'm running out of time. So what I really want to do is I want to get into the analysis and summary of the Kentucky resolutions. I've been promising and I'm trying to get here. And I wanted to cover all of these types of things and all of these ridiculous things that are happening. Hopefully you can start recognizing, if you want to change, if you think that our education system is our enemy, if you think that the mainstream media and our entertainment industry is our enemy, then you got to get involved. What's it going to take? How many more times do I have to point out that these guys are our enemy? These folks are our enemy. It's just plain and simple. They're our enemy. And so we have to start coming together. We have to start supporting the concept of compliance. We've got to start complying to the laws of the land, especially those laws that limit your government's role in our life, and start looking at what the government is supposed to be doing and what they're not doing. They're spending hand over fist on things that they shouldn't be. So the whole point of the Kentucky resolutions was a response to the fact that the government began regulating speech in 1798. And so I'm just going to recap. Resolution number one in the Kentucky resolution was an assertion that the federal government is limited to specific powers delegated, that the states did not sign onto a concept of an unlimited federal government. All residual powers that were not delegated to the federal government were retained by the states. The federal government was not granted the power to be its own judge. That was the state's job. Resolution 2 covered the general government had been given, per the Constitution, the only crimes that it was delegated to were punishing those four crimes that I've told you before: treason, counterfeiting, high crimes on the crimes on the seas, and crimes against the laws of nations. And so they were asserting and making speech illegal when they didn't even have that delegated to them. And he also goes into, you know, the fact that they're violating the 10th Amendment. And then he goes into the fact in Resolution 3 that these acts are also not just violating the 10th Amendment, but they're violating the First Amendment. The fourth resolution points out that the acts concerning the aliens also violates the 10th Amendment. So he starts getting into details. Excuse me. The fifth resolution points out that the states actually possess the power to choose who they import and immigrate until 1808, when that cognizance shifts over to the federal government. So the fact that they were jumping their authority to the 1808 was a little premature. Resolution 6 also points out that these acts violate the Constitution as well as the Bill of Rights. Resolution 7 is where they point out the enumeration powers in Article 1, Section 8, and define and redefine, actually, the limitation of the powers by the Necessary and Proper Clause. Resolution 8 is the most important because this is where Jefferson talks about the uniting of the states and setting up committees of conference and correspondence. This is where they're going to actually, he's identified these egregious violations, and now they're going to take action in rebuking the federal government by coalescing the states. That was the critical part. They had to come together and use the power of the republic. That means that the entire nation is standing up against the federal government. When you have all the states together saying, you can't do this, it's like bringing the parents back in or the prime contractors and telling their subcontractor, you can't do this. So in Resolution 9 is where Durloth was granted. And this was important because, bottom line, they didn't need to have the state legislators authorize each and every engagement with any other state. Why was this important? It allowed open communications between all of the states. If you understand what was happening in Resolutions 8 and 9, that is the Republic review process where you start, well, what are we going to do about these violations? How are we going to get these things taken back? And there's no doubt in my mind, if you go read Republic Review, or I should say the argument for it and the description of the process, you'll find that on reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage. Just read down. I know my websites aren't sexy. I know that they could be a lot better, but I don't have the time to learn the new HTML and all of that. I'm an old dog. It's just amazing that I can do as many things that I can. So anyway, if you want to criticize, I'm completely aware of the fact that, you know, I'm old school on the web, and that's okay, because to me, it's about the content. So I'm out of time. Next up, tomorrow, we're going to be diving into Madison's Virginia response, which are the Virginia Resolutions of 1798, and how they joined in this Republic review process that Jefferson was calling for. It was not just the audit. You got to make this, you know, you got to be clear about this. It's not just about the audit. The audit only finds and defines the problem. You have to actually get together and solve the problem and enforce it as well. That's the Republic review process. So I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org.
takeaction.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.